This is the Tom Likas Show.
I didn't even feel no pressure.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Shit. Okay, that's cool.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at MobiUpTom.com. You can hear our show on demand. Just go to PremiumTom.com. That's PremiumTom.com. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. We do it every Tuesday. And this is when Family Law Attorney Adam Sachs steps up to the mic. Adam, good to see you.
Good to see you, Tom.
What's going on?
I was thinking about last week when you were doing the show on monogamy, and it kind of switched over to that prison girl. Remember her?
Yes.
And I think we lost Likas 101 that week.
That was okay. That was good.
That was a good show.
That was worth doing.
Yes, yes. And she was talking about her different thing.
Yes.
You know, we have a special connection to 50 Shades of Grey on the Tom Likas Show because we had the producer here. And, you know, I actually sat down and tried to watch it, Tom, I got to tell you. And I got about halfway through and I couldn't take it.
Really?
It was too much.
Well, you're not the target audience for that movie.
Oh, I know. I read the book. I mean, the book was, you know, tolerably bad. But the next new thing has emerged, and I think it's very interesting, and guys should be paying attention. You know, you kind of want to look at the other side's playbook or whatever, you know, if you can do that. And it's been getting a lot of publicity in like kind of women's press circles and whatnot. And it's a book called The Wild Oats Project.
Oh, I saw that.
This is the next big thing. So you have a lady who's an American from Pennsylvania. We have to remember 50 Shades comes from merry old England. But this other one is from Pennsylvania. And she apparently is in her 40s and she's married. And she's had a very conservative life by her own description. And she just flips out at some point, and she tells her husband that, you know, she needs more from life, and she needs to taste every taste and experiment every experiment. And what this means, of course, is that she is going to screw around on him, what she calls an open marriage. But apparently I think it's only open for her, but I'm not really clear on that detail.
No, I am clear on that detail. Yeah. It was open for both of them.
Oh, that's great. Well, apparently I don't think he took big advantage.
He did not. Well, what happened was he dated the same woman throughout the entire experience. But the thing is, I don't think he wanted to do this.
Right.
That's the thing.
That's an important detail.
Yeah.
See, things are a little different than they used to be, right? Like, the husband used to bug the wife to, like, do a threesome or something,
right.
You know? Now you have freaky wife demanding to go bananas, and the husband's, like, you know, trying to stay home or whatever. I think he was heartbroken, but leaving that aside, she spends a year fucking her brains out with men and women, apparently. And she made some rules that it wouldn't be anyone that mutually was known by both of them, and she wouldn't see someone more than three times so as to not get emotionally involved. And apparently she broke all her own rules anyway and actually did get with people that he knew and so forth. So much for that. And the bottom line is that apparently it was this incredible experience for her. And it opened her eyes in so many ways, and she's being celebrated as this great new, you know, feminine author, talking about her identity and freedom and finding herself. And this is all embraced as this fantastically wonderful thing. And guys, I think that it's really important that we look into this a little bit. Now, Tom has talked in the past about why guys want to get married, because guys usually don't want to get married. But it's not uncommon that a guy really loves a chick and he thinks that the only way that he's going to, like, keep her or keep her faithful is by, you know, settling down with her, marrying her or whatever. That somehow that's going to be a big deal. A lot of guys also think that when you get children with a woman, that that's going to really tie you together permanently and so forth, and that that will make her faithful. We've talked about so many guys, and I mean, I know it sounds interesting on paper, right? I mean, there are so many women that are very rejecting of sex and, you know, crazy when it comes to doing anything. And then you get with a woman who's like a stripper or some kind of, you know, crazy woman, sexually speaking. And somehow you want to turn a whore into a housewife, which sounds like a great idea. Here you have a woman that loves sex, that's nuts for it. And if you could just get her to direct all her attention on you, then you'd have this sex maniac at home. Except, you know, unfortunately, you can't turn a whore into a housewife. And she's going to be crazy at home, but she's going to be crazy doing whatever she's been doing anywhere else with whoever else. She's not going to suddenly become monogamous. And what's really interesting about, you know, other cultures, and Tom and I have seen this up close. I mean, Tom and I have been, for example, not together, but we've been to Argentina. And, you know, the cheating wife in Argentina gets, you know, murdered by her husband, and that's considered justifiable homicide. And that's true in a lot of societies. You know, women get stoned for adultery in serious Islamic nations, for example. I'm not saying that we need to have that in the United States, but we seem to have embraced something completely the other way, which is that here you have a woman who's a slut, who's lost her mind, who's in the middle of a marriage that I'm sure, by the way, she insisted on. You know, the woman is the one who pushes the guy to get married, and she wants the big wedding and all that stuff. And then when it doesn't suit her anymore, she doesn't need it anymore. Now, Tom has talked in the past again about what's going to happen when your wife's friend from high school shows up, or her first boyfriend, or the prom queen, king, I should say, or someone that she felt that she missed out on, and, you know, he's going to trace him on Facebook, and he's going to be in town for some reason. He's going to want to meet for lunch, and she's going to go. She's not going to tell her husband. And, you know, if it works out the way it works out, she'll sleep with the guy and not think twice about it. So you see that, you know, women don't think of it in the same way. They certainly would enforce it towards us, guys, where if a guy cheats, a woman's hysterical. As a matter of fact, I've seen instances where a woman was hysterical on her husband or boyfriend just for looking at other women. I mean, going to, like, the mall or the beach and seeing other women, and the girlfriend is furious. You know, you look at her, is that what you really want? Tom used to kid about that, right? Tom, remember those TV shows, and the wife would say to you, you think she's pretty? And you say, you know, yeah, sure, she's hot. Oh, so that's what you like.
Right.
You
know? Exactly.
Not me, right?
Right.
I don't look at all like her at all. You like that bitch with the short skirt. Okay. But, you know, the bottom line is that it's never reciprocated in any way. And this whole conceptualization really changed, particularly in the United States, because of what we call no-fault divorce. And that's the legal tie-in here. You know, there was a time where, crazy as you may or may not believe it, but if the wife was a cheater, well, she was an adulterer, adulteress, you know, one time you had to get pictures or whatever, but even after that, and not so long ago in certain states, which were false states, like New York was a false state until very recently, you know, if the wife had cheated, then she would get screwed in the divorce. She would get no alimony or very little alimony. She would have a much worse situation in terms of settlement. And what's happened is because of no fault, that's completely gone. A lot of guys call me and say to me, you know, I need to get a divorce because my wife's a slut and she lied to me and she cheated on me and she, you know, it's always something disgusting. It's not like she, you know, a guy will screw a prostitute or he'll screw a stranger at like when he's on business or something, you know. A woman will screw your best friend or your brother or, you know, someone you know very intimately, one of the neighbors, for example. And the guy will say to me, you know, she screwed my brother, she screwed my best friend, whatever it is, and so I want to tell the court and I'm going to really stick it to her. And generally speaking, it's not relevant in a no-fault state like California and most other states. And guys will tell me they're so angry and they're so hurt. So what Tom said is essentially quite correct. You know, you could be a perfectly good husband, you could do everything, you could sacrifice for your family, you could sacrifice for children that you didn't necessarily really want to have. And you come home and your wife is screwing your best friend in your living room, And you, like, just walk up and stand there. And she says, oh, by the way, honey, the papers for the divorce are on the kitchen table, and I'm taking everything. And, you know, the two of them can, like, laugh about it. And then within a few weeks' time, you'll be supporting not only her, not only the kids, in the house that you're not allowed to live in anymore, but you'll also be supporting the guy that she's screwing. And when you talk about money, I mean, looking at your paycheck, and let's say you make, I don't know, $8,000 a month, and $5,000 or $6,000 of it, which is like the lion's share, is going to your ex-wife and her lover and these kids that you don't get to see anymore, and her supporting her lifestyle, and she's the one who cheated on you, and she feels, I got to tell you, no guilt. You see this. It's remarkable. The women feel no guilt about it. They're not ashamed. It's not considered a big deal. And then I can tell you why. You have a society which embraces it. You know, there was one thing in 50 Shades of Grey where the woman was supposed to be this innocent and she's a virgin and she meets this incredibly wealthy guy and he, like, you know, does all these kinky things to her. Here, this is a woman in this other book, The Wild Oats Project, who is a grown-up. She's in her 40s. She's a housewife, whatever. She has a job, whatever she's doing. She's married for 15 or 20 years. And she screws around, does it with all kinds of crazy situations and men. And she goes to some kind of sex resort or something like that with all these different people that are in these crazy pansexual relationships. And the reviewers, which is like the New York Times and the LA Times, they're all saying how wonderful it is and how liberating it is and how brilliant it is and how it's made such a connection for the modern woman to be able to express herself. And that should speak very loudly to us guys. I mean, if you're seriously thinking about getting married, and obviously we always criticize marriage for any number of economic reasons, but if you really believe the fundamental thing, which Tom talks about also, right, and I've mentioned this, how women are really different, and the Tom talks about his mom, as I recall, cleaning the floor. What was that? Waxing the floor?
We had hardwood floors.
Ah, there we go. Mom's there slaving away.
My mom was on her hands and knees. She had a can of that Preen, wood Preen. And she would, it's like this lotion that came out of a can. And my mother would be applying that with a rag to the hardwood floors, which were throughout the house.
Unbelievable.
She also made 5 meals a day. There was no time to be taking selfies or to go out and make a phone call or anything.
Mom wasn't putting crotch shots up on the internet, huh?
No.
She wasn't exactly, like, looking for the pansexual people in the neighborhood.
And by the way, I'm surprisingly conservative when it comes to this stuff. You know, back in the day, you know, if a woman gave up everything to be home and make 5 meals a day and wax the floor, you know what? I think alimony and child support were perfectly appropriate in that era. But what we have is we have laws that go back to that era, where women now just feel they've got starter husbands and starter homes.
Right.
And, you know, there's no game plan to stay together forever. It's not what it is. And in many cases, they have this laundry list of friends they're in touch with from classmates.com and Facebook and Twitter. And they've got these friend lists, hundreds of men that the husband has never met. And why should you be paying that person's expenses? I don't get it.
Well, again, that's the thing, you know. When you talk about, you know, your mom's thinking and your mom's generation, she was really committed. I mean, I know it sounds stupid, and we say that the biggest lies, I mean, the biggest lies are the wedding vows, you know, till death do us part and so forth. And we know that if a guy loses his job, or like in what we've seen in the economic crisis of the past few years, where people lose their residence, they lose their home, and that the marriage breaks up. I mean, you know, that's fine. That's very, very typical, and that's very hard for people to stay together as things are collapsing around them. You know, when you talk about these articles, and there's a whole thing now that was in the Huffington Post, they have these profiles of women leaving what they call perfectly good husbands. So in other words, there was a profile of several women who were married to successful guys, good-looking guys, loving husbands, had children and families and everything, and the woman just, you know, wasn't satisfied. It just wasn't enough for her. And here she's being encouraged by her therapist and by her family and everyone else and her friends to leave that guy and to find something better. And apparently most of these women actually, several years later, seeing how shitty it was to be single and get treated like shit by, you know, just regular guys out in the world, actually some of them tried to get their husbands back, and some were successful and some were not. But the bottom line is that when you look at this encouragement and this culture that says to the woman, you know, okay, you know, you're doing it now, you're getting married, but don't worry about it. If you're not absolutely thrilled, it's like an appliance, you can return it, which is just ridiculous.
Except unlike when you return an appliance, you know, you return the appliance and they give you what you paid for it and you move on with your life. With divorce, women can return the appliance and then get paid for years and years after they've returned it, and it could be forever even.
I remember it was at the end of Let's Make a Deal. Monty Hall used to say, you know, I'm sorry you haven't won, but we're still going to give you some lovely parting gifts, you know.
Right.
So, as you say, you know, the original theory, again, and this was like your mother's world, this woman who had been very, very sacrificing for her husband and her family, when the husband or she, you know, for whatever the reasons were, get divorced, you couldn't just put her out on the street and hope that she would be able to take care of herself.
Right.
And that was the theory of alimony. Now you have women who are educated. You would not believe how many cases I have, Tom, where the wife has a teaching credential, or the wife is a lawyer, or the wife has other, you know, serious skills, and she used to work as a anything, you name it, a travel agent, whatever. And now she hasn't worked in a few years. She gets divorced, and she just continues to not have to work. And in her mind, she says it proudly. I mean, considering liberation and equality, she's very proudly standing in court with her head up high, and she says, oh, me? I don't work. What do you mean? Of course I don't work. And it's like, what the hell are you talking about? And I've talked to these women. I've said to them, you know, now that you're getting divorced, you're going to have to get a job. And they say, oh, me? I don't work. And it's like, really? How's that? Well, my husband takes care of me. Well, you don't have a husband anymore. And they sit there kind of dumbfounded, but they don't change their mind. They feel this thing which is just nauseating. It's called a sense of entitlement. And, you know, the entitlement attitude is a horrible thing among poor people. It's a horrible thing among a lot of people who have problems, who think that everything's supposed to be taken care of for them. But even leaving any of that aside, the idea that it's in the popular literature, like this book I mentioned, which is that it's okay to screw around on your husband, there's no consequences, it's actually a liberating thing, it's a positive thing. Guys, sooner or later, you're going to come face to face with this. And you're going to be married, and you're going to be working your ass off, and you're going to have kids screaming in the house and shit all over the place. Your wife's going to chop off her hair. We know that one, right, Tom?
Yeah, of course.
And she's going to be looking horrible. You're not going to hardly recognize her as the hot woman you used to date or whatever she was. And you're going to come home, and she's going to give you the little spiel, which is going to be, you know what? It's not you, honey. It's me. I'm not happy, and I'm not sure why, and I need to find myself. There's another book, which is called Eat, Pray, Love, which was also made into a film with Julia Roberts, and it's the same kind of thing. This is a woman who flips out. She gets jilted or something, doesn't matter, but it's the same idea. And she goes and she explores and she finds herself. And, you know, this is considered really fantastic, except it's not fantastic. And the one who pays the highest price is the guy and the children, even worse. How do you explain to your children that mommy went crazy and she's, you know, fucking her brains out, you know, and to explore her sexuality? And these are very anachronistic lives, you know. If a woman wants to do her wild oats or whatever, you know, she should probably do that in her 20s before she gets married. And what we also see to this other extreme is women who do that. And, I mean, I met many women who were in their 30s who told me that when they were in their 20s, when they were college and graduate school age, that they had had hundreds of partners. And that's disgusting from a whole different sort of point of view. When you think about the idea of turning a woman who's a whore into a housewife, how do you take a woman who's not a whore, who was just very, very sexually promiscuous and experimental, and she had, let's say, 100 or 200 partners, and that, if you just think about the raw quantity of that, you know, and again, reference to Tom's mother's age, you know, the 1950s woman was probably with one or two in her entire life, okay? Certainly less than five. When you're talking about hundreds, and then she's, you know, 28 and 30, she meets you, and you could be terrific. You could be very good to her. You know, at late at night, okay, when she's sitting there with the power tools, I'm sorry, she's not thinking of you. She's going to remember that tennis pro. She's going to remember that famous guy she was with. And one way or another, you're going to seem boring by comparison when she compares herself to the good old days. Remember that lady, Tom, that you were with that had been with rock stars and all kinds of crazy shit, right?
Yep.
And then she was with you, and you're like, hey, let's do this kinky thing. And she's like, okay,
all right, you insist. Yeah, I've already done it, but if you want to.
Fine, I'm just going to read a magazine. Go ahead.
She was one step away from, let me know when you're done.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the bottom line. And, you know, you don't have to be a genius that people say that sex in marriage is boring and redundant after a while. You see that people are very hot for each other for a couple of months, and over time it gets more difficult. Certainly when children come along, it's more difficult. But ultimately, if you're in this situation where fundamentally the woman considers you replaceable, and or temporary, she's not really very committed to you. I'm reminded of what you were saying again, Tom, with the radio stations. I mean, so if we take this woman and we call her Cheryl, and she's our afternoon girl, and we never say her last name, or whatever, Cheryl Smith, who cares? So, you know, Cheryl works for a couple of months, and she gets okay ratings, and she comes in and she wants a raise. Well, fuck Cheryl. We fire her. We get another person named Cheryl, or we get a person who isn't named Cheryl, and we call them Cheryl. And she comes in, and you just do it nice and quiet, like certainly like Bewitched. Or I remember there was a character on Danny Bonaducci's show, The Partridge Family, where I think they just changed it. The kid was problematic, the actor, and they just brought someone else in. And then, you know, they didn't have, like, this transition episode. I remember on Dallas when one of the major characters died in real life, they had shows explaining him dying or something. And it was this big transition that the show followed because they had no choice because the actor had died. Here, there was another one on Dynasty where they replaced an actor and supposedly he needed facial reconstructive surgery or something. In Bewitched, they just had a new season with a new Darren, and that was it, and everyone acted normal. And so on some level, you know, you got to think about a woman's attitude today about monogamy. It's you or somebody else. And if that's the way she thinks, and you can be pretty sure that there's a lot of support that she has for thinking that way, you know, as much as you're knocking yourself out for her, she's looking at you, and if you're not going to be exactly everything she dreamed of, she's going to replace you, and she won't think twice about it.
By the way, speaking of those names, I don't know if you remember.
The radio station names?
Radio station names. On WOR in New York, there was a woman named Martha Dean. And Martha Dean, the name was owned by the radio station.
I love it.
So when the original Martha Dean went off to work somewhere else, she had to work under her real name, Mary Margaret McBride, because WOR owned the name Martha Dean.
So she couldn't use her own name. Oh, my God.
Well, no, it wasn't her own name. It was never her name.
Oh,
she was told that when she started working there, this is your name, and so that's the name she worked under.
But I mean, but that was her professional identity, and then they like stole it from
her. And
then
over time, they had various women played the part of Martha Dean on WOR.
I love it. That's incredible.
Yes, it's very commonly done. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. We got calls coming in. Of course, Adam Sachs joins us for a bonus hour every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time. And he is here as family law attorney, Adam Sachs. And that means if you've got questions about separation, divorce, child custody, child support, prenups, postnups, restraining orders. He'll answer your questions. This is free legal advice for you, but all you have to do is call this number, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. You can call us right now at 901-3000-866.
Serving the universe from an old laundromat in Burbank. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Let's talk about El Pollo Inca. El Pollo Inca restaurant in Gardena is owned by our P1 listener Antonio Atoche and his brothers, and they serve the best Peruvian food you'll find anywhere, including their famous Pollo a la Brasa, which is delicious rotisserie chicken. And that's just a start.
They've got tons of amazing beef, chicken, seafood, and vegetarian dishes, and a friendly staff. Get their special chicken soup complimentary with every meal, and man, is it good. Plus, get this, the soup is all you can eat when you're dining in. El Pollo Inca, on West Artesia Boulevard in Gardena, right on the 91, and where the 110, 405, and 91 meet. Check out their full bar, offering specialty drinks like their killer Pisco Sour, a signature Peruvian cocktail. And don't miss their hard-to-find Peruvian beers. They've got karaoke on Thursday nights, salsa dancing Friday through Sunday nights, even salsa classes if you want to learn. Get info at this number, 310-516-7378, or visit elpolloinca.com. El Pollo Inca, 1425 West Artesia Boulevard in Gardena, close to the 710 and minutes from the 605. Easy to get to, lots of free parking, no excuses. Get your ass out to El Pollo Inca in Gardena.
You know, America loves the Gary Andino Show. Just listen to when Bar Rescue's John Taffer called in.
Maybe we just establish one ground rule, and that is you don't yell at us. Because, you know, people have told us we're stupid and we're doing the wrong thing for our whole lives.
Yeah, and to be yelled at, I think, would really drive us into the dirt.
So is that cool?
If you ask one more time, guys, I'm going to start yelling. That's
Guts. Glory. Stupidity.
When you wake up in the morning and look in the mirror, I want you to see a thief.
The Gary and Dino Show.
I want you to know.
Go to GaryandDino.com.
I've been saying that to him for years.
That's my biggest
John.
Nightmare.
Hey, P1s, our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the New Normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything, even groceries, at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com.
Hammer time!
The Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, you know we're making a wine. It's true. We are making a 2014 Salinas Valley Syrah. And I have tasted it out of the barrel. And it is going to be killer. Now, there's only going to be 137 cases in the entire world. That's it. And
I'm buying one.
All right. Good. Excellent. All I want everyone to know is that you... can get your hands on at least a bottle, but you want to get on the mailing list so we can let you know the release date. We can let you know when you can start purchasing the wine on future. You want to purchase it ahead of release. You save a few bucks. All you do is go to our website, p1wine.com. p1wine.com. Just go to p1wine.com. All right, we're here with Adam Sachs. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. We're talking about family law. So if you have questions about divorce or separation or vaginamony, this is where you go. Because they had a Nick in Wilmington, Delaware. Nick, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hello, Professor.
Hey, hello, Nick.
What's going
How
on?
How are you today?
So far, so good. What can we do for you?
Question for Adam.
Sure.
Do you know of any ways for me to get my name off my wife's bank account without her being there with me?
Oh, that is a tough one. Are you guys married? Are you getting divorced? What's going on?
We are married, but she's overdrawn her account a couple times, and that affects my credit. So
right.
I wanted to get my name off her account.
Right.
Try and build my credit back up.
I understand. It's really hard to be with someone who's, you know, financially irresponsible. And Tom is absolutely right. You know, our society does not teach people how to be financially responsible. And it might not be an accident. It might be some kind of banking conspiracy. But the truth is, when it comes to money, women are particularly irresponsible. And, you know, theoretically, when you're married, that's your partner. Now, when you get divorced, one of the things that happens is there's a freeze. You're not supposed to change anything on your accounts. And that's very painful for a lot of guys because the wives do really stupid things like overdrawing and so forth. What may come
well,
now...
We're still married. We're not talking divorce or anything, so...
You know, that's your, you know, your situation. I don't know what it is. I would find it incredibly difficult to be married to someone who was screwed up when it came to money like, you know, you're describing. But if you're able to deal with it, it's certainly not a good sign. But what you ought to probably do is check with the bank. You might want to discuss it with her. You might want to use some psychology and say, look, it's not you. I just don't want it to be on an account with you. I want to have my own account and let you have yours and blah, 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 because I have a special credit issue.
I do have my own account. It's at a separate bank. But when I went into the bank with our joint account today,
right. You want to make a change.
She would have to be with me to sign a new signature card or something.
Yeah. You know, I know a lot of people that have, like, joint mortgages and joint loans and so forth, and they get separated or divorced, and their name is still on the mortgage, and then the wife is paying late or she's doing stupid shit or whatever. Very, very frustrating. You know, it's very difficult. It's like Tom says always not to co-sign for someone, right? Like, if someone needs a co-signer for a loan, the reason you don't co-sign is because, obviously, the reason they need you to co-sign is because they've been irresponsible.
The bank knows what a deadbeat they are, and the bank won't lend them any money. Why should you trust them?
Well, that's the reason they want you to co-sign is because they're a deadbeat.
Right. But, I mean, when people are asked to do this, they think it's like some kind of a paperwork favor they're doing for someone. They don't understand that if the other person, a deadbeat, does what they usually do and they don't pay the loan back, you are 100%, not even 50% responsible. You are 100% responsible for that loan.
The bank isn't even going to bother with them because they're screwed up. They're going to go after you. You're the one that's got the pocket to pay. So, I mean, when this gentleman talks about Nick here, about his wife being basically the deadbeat, and she's overdrawing the account, the bank's saying, well, if you want to change this account, the two of you are going to have to come in and deal with it. I mean, that's the reality, Nick. If that's their policy, I'm really sorry. And the only thing you can otherwise do is divorce her and start doing it from that point of view.
You know, by the way, you don't still deposit money in that account, do you?
No. Not at all.
Well, he is.
He's going in there.
Wait a second. You're going to have to cover her overdraft, aren't you? She's not going to.
That's why I'm having trouble building up my credit and my...
Well, there you go.
FU fund.
It's very, very harsh. You know, it's very seldom that you meet a woman that really knows how to handle her money or, you know, even the couple's money, the family money. And so you're really,
well,
you know, I understand.
At the beginning of the relationship, I made the mistake of letting her handle all the bills.
Crazy.
We were in that joint account together and ended up losing my car.
Yeah, but see, I would find that very hard to forgive her for. You're saying that you're not even close to divorce, and I'm not trying to talk you into it. But, I mean, isn't it difficult being kind of hooked up with someone who's irresponsible like that?
It is, but we have a 5-month-old.
Well, there you go. See, there you go.
Looking at it from his perspective.
I understand, but a year ago you could have avoided that problem too. I would have said that when you lost
the... I only found out about the show about a month and a half ago, and...
No, I understand. I'm just saying that when you lost the car... When you lost the car...
I actually became a monthly SP1.
Oh, great.
Nice.
I'm sure, definitely appreciate that. Thank you. But I'm just saying is that when you lost the car, that was your exit visa right there. That was your warning that she was screwed up. Now it's probably something that you're going to have to get off that account. You're going to have to discuss it with her, get her to come in with you, and you're going to have to start being a little more fatherly than a husband and start telling her, look, here's your budget every month, X number of dollars, and this is all you can spend. And if you go past that, I'm not going to cover for you. And deal with it from that point of view. That's not how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be equals. And that's what women will say today, especially, how they want an equal. But in the end, the reality is, in practice, they really don't.
Still there,
Nick? They go off about, I do this and I do this. Why don't you do it?
Well, what do you mean, do this and do this?
If she keeps saying she has to clean up after me, but I am feeding the kid, the bottle's sitting there, and then she just takes it instead of letting me finish with what I'm doing.
Why are you having, here's the thing. Why are you still there again? Why?
No idea.
Well, then, no. You know, you made that decision.
I did.
Why?
I don't have an answer.
Well, you need to have an answer.
Not sure.
You need to have an answer.
You have to remember also, Tom, that probably, in all fairness to Nick, this bank account thing is not the central problem. That's more of a symptom that's more emblematic of him being responsible and her being irresponsible. And then you start looking at the whole relationship, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, she's hassling him with the child care, and she made him lose his car, and all this other bullshit, that ends up being just one among many things going on, unfortunately. It's really harsh, Nick. I know that you probably had your heart in the right place. And, I talk to guys. Guys genuinely love these women. They try really hard. They're trying to do the right thing. They're not cheaters. They're not liars. And they just get fucked. And that's why, I think especially Tom and I nowadays are just tired of the whole conversation and advocate against the whole thing. Say it's not a good idea to get married. It's not a good idea to get into serious relationships. It's not a good idea to live with someone. It's not a good idea to have joint accounts and the little checks with the kittens on them or whatever. That's just not smart. That's just not the way to deal with your life.
I mean, Nick, there's got to be a reason you're still there. Maybe you don't want to tell us the reason.
I guess, the house that we're in, we're renting. I'm, paying the rent on that each month.
That's why you're staying? That's why you're staying.
A lot of people cite economics to me, Tom.
Understood, but the lease is not forever. What is it, a 100-year lease?
No.
When is the lease up?
I could break it whenever.
Then don't use the lease as an excuse. You could leave now. You give 30 days notice. You could be out of here by the end of April. Done. April 30th, out. You can do that. So why wouldn't you do it?
I guess this is the idiocy of trying to make it work.
You can't make it work. What do you think is going to get better about this situation? I know people who buy a stock. So they buy it at $100. And at first it goes up to $110, and the person comes to me and is bragging about his economic prowess. Oh, my stock is up to $110. But then one thing after another happens, okay, the economy, oil prices, whatever, and suddenly the $110 stock is now a $95 stock, and then a $72 stock, and then a $63 stock, and so you go to the guy and you say, don't you think you ought to sell now and cut your losses? And it's like, well, maybe it's going to get back up to 100, or maybe it's going to go down to zero.
It's like betting on Enron, basically.
Well.
Exactly, just like Enron.
So what makes you think this is going to get any better? And the reason is, you just don't want to sell the stock because you've owned it for so long.
Well, that's called being married to the stock, by the way, Tom. That's actually the expression that people say. I just love this company so much,
So isn't that true, Nick? You're only staying because you've invested this much time in it. It's like the story I always tell about the guy hitting himself in the head with a ball peen hammer. He's been doing it for 10 years. Ow! 10 years of hitting himself in the head with a hammer. So you go to the guy and say, hey, buddy, why are you still hitting yourself in the head with a hammer? And he says, well, I've been doing it for 10 years. I can't stop now.
God damn it, I'm used to it.
This is what I'm supposed to do. I've been doing it. I got a lot of time invested in hitting myself in the head with a hammer.
That's another one. Invested. I like that.
So, Nick, why are you still there?
Trying to get my finances together so that I can get out.
Are you really, or did you just give me the right answer? Are you really?
I don't see it going anywhere good.
Right, but you have not done anything to get out of there. You are there like it's going to last forever. Like you took the wedding vow seriously. Like you really believe that shit, right?
At the time, yeah.
Right.
That's the unfairness. The guys do it for real, and the women make it a joke.
You know, why would you want to stay through that? Your credit rating stinks. How's the marriage?
I guess Rocky.
Rocky, how's your sex life?
I remember the last time I got some.
Right.
Oh, my God.
So what exactly are you getting out of this?
Oh, dude.
Can you tell me what you are getting out of this?
No, because I don't know.
Because the answer is nothing. Right?
Correct.
Okay. So you're getting nothing out of it. Your credit rating is getting hammered. You're not getting any sex. You're getting absolutely nothing. So what possible reason could you... Yeah, and by the way, you have a lease that it's a 30-day lease. 30 days notice and you're out. Month-to-month lease. You're a month-to-month tenant, right? So you can leave any time. You can just say, all right, April 30th, I'm out. Right?
Yep.
All right, so why wouldn't you do that?
I guess I got to start by getting my name off her account and go from there.
Even if you can't, why continue to live there?
No good answer.
But then don't do it. Why can't you plan on being out on April 30th? Why can't you do that?
I guess I'm worried about the kid.
You think the kid is doing well being in an environment like this? You think the kid doesn't sense tension between you and your wife? You think your kid is stupid?
No.
All right. So what makes you think the kid isn't aware of what's going on?
He's 5 months old.
Right? Five months old?
I guess because he can't express what...
So you're going to stay there for... Yeah. You're going to stay there for 18 years.
That's a lot of time.
18 years with your wife who doesn't know how to stop spending money, your credit rating's getting hammered, you have no sex life, just 17 years and 7 months more and you'll be out. Really?
Sounds like a prison sentence.
That is too long, you're correct.
All right, so there's no point in, you might as well cut your losses. By the way, if it were me, I can't speak for the legality of what I'm about to tell you, and I'm sure Adam will weigh in on this. If it were me, here's how I would get that bank account closed. You ever get one of those things in the mail from, like, Chase, and they say they're offering you, name the month, $250, $300, $350, $400 to switch to Chase?
Switch to Chase.
You ever get one of those? You ever get an offer you ever get any offers in the mail to start a bank account at a bank?
Not a bad idea.
No, but I'll keep an eye out for them.
Well, fine. Lie and say you got an offer, and so let's close this account, and then we can start an account across town. The account, your current account has nothing in it, right? To overdraw on or whatever?
It has money in there. She gets paid every 2 weeks.
Uh-huh. All right. But at some point, it's obviously at zero because it gets overdrawn, correct?
Correct.
All right. You don't even have to wait for it to go down to zero. Tell her there's a better bank in town and they're offering an incentive, so we're going to close this account. Take your money, and then we'll aim your check at the new account.
Nice. Nice. Nice.
Then after you've closed the account, say, now listen. I'm not moving accounts. You're starting an account, and I'm not. Do you have the balls to do that?
I'm going to have to.
Oh, yeah, you're going to have to. Because that's how you're going to do it. You're going to tell her that you're going to change banks. So tell her we're going to go in, we're going to sign this account out. We'll take your money out, and you'll get a check or you'll get the cash, and then we'll move to another bank. And then once you've got that account closed,
bye bye joint account.
That's it. Goodbye. She can go to a new bank, but not you.
That's beautiful, Tom. See, Tom knows what to do.
This is what you do. You do not have to live like this, Nick. All right, Nick, think about that for a minute, but hang on, because we have a couple of callers who want to talk to you, and we're going to get to them coming up next.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
All right, boys, let's talk insurance. Coslo Insurance. Coslo. Now, you've probably heard Jeremy Rubin on our show. Jeremy's family has owned and operated Coslo since 1965, and they're all about getting you the right protection at the right price. Now, you know I got my Tesla Model S insured with Coslo. Well, you know I was so happy with their service. Now I've added two more of my cars and my home in the Hollywood Hills, and it's not just me. Plenty of listeners have called to tell us how thrilled they are that they've made the switch. Look, there's a reason Coslo has been in business for almost 50 years. Give them a call for a free, no-obligation quote. The number, 818-707-7711. Or visit CoslOinsurance.com and see how much you can save. Property, auto, commercial, health, or life insurance. It's 818-707-7711. Or visit CoslOinsurance.com today. Coslo. C-O-S. T-L-O.
Hey, bitches. This is Manju. If you missed the Gary and Dino show, you missed this.
She'll be going down on your Indian dick.
Nothing like curse spells.
Go to GaryandDino.com.
Happy birthday, Dino.
God damn it.
French fries.
You fat fucking whore.
You got fries.
What the fuck is that?
Dick out.
I got a Randy
Quaid. Yeah, dude.
Damn.
Have you seen people mentioning your appearance on the Gary and Dino show?
Spike in interest of any kind?
No.
The Gary and Dino Show. Go to GaryandDino.com.
We want to thank Devin Bronson and the boys at Black Box for pitching in and helping to sponsor our third anniversary party. And to celebrate the occasion, now through April 2nd, they're offering 20% off for Tom Likas Show listeners only. Just go to BNAudio.com. That's BNAudio.com and enter promo code TOM to get your 20% off the Black Box. Built to play loud and take a beating, this simple-to-use, high-power, plug-and-play speaker can be used anywhere, like your house, your apartment, your garage, your backyard. It even works in cars and trucks with the included 12-volt car charger. The Black Box easily connects to anything with a headphone or RCA output, like your TV, your smartphone, iPod, computer, gaming console, and more. They even include the connection cables. the Black Box. It's handcrafted from real wood, and it puts those mass-produced plastic speakers to shame. Plus, it costs over $100 less. Take advantage of their Tom Likas Show third anniversary special by going to bnaudio.com and enter promo code Tom to get your 20% off the Black Box. Then, go ahead, crank it.
Hammer time.
The Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. All right, we got Nick in Wilmington, Delaware. And we're going to bring in now Walter. Walter, what do you want to say to Nick here in the bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show? Hello?
Hey, Tom. How's it going? How's it going, Adam?
It's cool. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, Nick, man. I just wanted to let you know it's only going to get worse. My story, man, is I talked to Adam back in August of last year and told him I was getting a divorce. And I wanted him to do my case, and I didn't have enough money to give him. So I was going back and forth with Adam, arguing with him, but the end result was I ended up filing for the divorce myself. And this was over 17 years of marriage, and I have two kids. Dude, it's only going to get worse. Sounds like to me that she's, at this point, verbally abusing you and putting you down, for number one, and it's going to get worse once you even get away from the joint account and separate it. It even got worse. She started pushing me for more money. So I'm just here to tell you, man, listen to what everything you hear on the radio that Adam and Tom is saying. And I don't know if you remember me, Adam, when I called you, and you was like, you pumped me up to go through with it.
Far out.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
So, what do you think about man. What do you think about Nick hesitating like this?
Man, dude, the more you hesitate, the far deeper you're gonna get into it. I started drinking and was just drinking every day on my job. I make three times as less money, and I'm more happy, and I have more money to do the things that I want, man. So you need to put in for that divorce yesterday. You need to talk to Adam. You're going to, man, I saved so much money since I put in for that divorce and decided to leave. And it's only going to be a matter of time before the verbal abuse is going to get even worse. If she's doing it now and putting you down, it's only going to get worse, especially once you take control of your money and not give them anymore. That's what happened when I started doing it. And she started, I had the same thing with the account. I took her off. Oh, man, things got worse. What'd you think about that, Nick?
I think he makes a lot of good points. And I thank you for
it. You need to have an exit plan. Like, do that as soon as possible and make out a budget. And go and see a lawyer. Those are things that you definitely need to do. And as far as, get it in the court documents, man, so you can have your kid. But you only going to hurt the kids in the long run if you wait, because your situation is not going to get any better. She's only going to get worse. She's not going to change.
I think that's one of the hardest things to face, you know. People are optimistic and, you know, hope springs eternal. And a lot of guys, it's amazing, women, but a lot of guys, too, are hopeful for the future. Things are going to improve. And as Tom says, you know, the beginning of the relationship is the best it's ever going to be. And it's just downhill from there.
Definitely. It's like doing drugs. You're chasing that first high, man.
That's an interesting analogy, Tom.
It certainly is. Walter, thank you for that. Let's get Mike in here. Mike, what did you want to say here to Nick?
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Mike.
Adam Sachs, good to hear you, man, as always.
Thanks.
I went through this, and I was not married to my son's mom. And we nested around for a while, and early on in the relationship, after the kid was born, I cut all the sex and stuff off because I realized what it was. It was a big play. So that was the first thing. But the next part was I had to figure out how to get out of there. And I never lived with her. So I was over there helping out, doing everything, nesting, going to doctors, being part of the kid's life and all that stuff, as long as I behaved. But as soon as I didn't give her money or behave a certain way, I paid a huge price. So emotionally on the inside, though, is you get bonded to the kid. And I certainly understand, Nick. You're bonded to the kid. You like the kid. He's your kid. And one of the things that I've learned about that is men are very sensitive when it comes to their kids. It may not be there for the right reason, but they are very sensitive for their kids. So I understand how hard it is. I almost can hear it in you, like, gee, if I do this, there's going to be hell to be paid. And these women in America, they know how to do this stuff. So the man that was before here just told you, if you're going to do this, you need someone like Adam who's going to help you. Because she's probably going to keep the kid. And she's going to make you fight to get that kid. And the only way you're going to get that kid is put money up. So you're going to need someone that knows what they're doing to negotiate. Adam says it all the time. He's very right. You need a lawyer to help you out with this stuff. And you can get a lawyer on a limited basis that will help you just navigating some of this stuff, even getting ready when you and this is stuff I eventually did. I'm telling you in a short version, but I eventually did. And that was get a custody plan set up and, you know, some child support that's measurable with the courts based on how much money you make and earn and how much she makes and earns, because she may have to go to work, too. That's the other thing. So you're going to make her, she's going to have to get off her fat ass and start doing some things.
Right, but life with the crazy woman is not going to improve. You know, that's the point. So you got to pull the ripcord. That's the key.
Yeah, and so you just trying to help him prepare, though, Adam, because it's...
I understand.
If you got someone like you in that corner and she starts pulling the I'm keeping the kid crap, then you got to go in and get a custody order from the court that's law so that we can then get the police over there to get the kid. Because that's what we want. The men want access to their kids. The women want the money. And they keep the kids until they get the money. So it's definitely a fucked up situation when it comes to women in America. They have this sense of entitlement. Now they've got a kid, they're expecting you to paint their toenails and cough their muff and stay at home and raise the kid and do nothing and watch soap operas. And we're all supposed to bust our balls. So I think you got some great advice today, and you'll get started on that. But it's going to take some, you're going to have to reach down inside yourself and pull yourself up to say, yeah, I'm going to go do this, and then withstand some of the heat from it. And some of the family may not even agree. They'll say you're doing stuff that's not responsible. But I had to come to a point with this, and this was it. I didn't like her. I never liked her. I met her professionally, and she said she couldn't get pregnant. I got pregnant, and I nested. I did all the right things.
Yeah, couldn't get pregnant. We heard that before.
Yeah, and all the right things your men are supposed to do, because that's what good men do. Well, I left because I didn't love that chick, and she was a bitch. She was mean to me. She pulled that kid from me. The truth came out when I walked out of there and wanted to see the kid. She kept pulling the kid. And that's when I got the true meaning of this person. And I'm going to tell you, it's taken me years. I've been on here before. I've talked to Adam. I've talked to Tom. I've talked to the audience here. I've had to learn to grow up to this. And this was something I needed to take and get on my own and then be that single dad that I was going to be. And it's been the best route ever since. But it wasn't easy. So I feel for you, but you're going to have to at some point, you want to sit around and get your balls cut off, you know, especially when you go change that bank account. You know, man, I'll tell you what. I don't know if you know who John Wayne Bobbitt was, but he was around in the days when I started hooking up with my son's mom. I didn't want to have my dick cut off, so I moved him. I didn't stay with her. I didn't want that shit, man. This chick was crazy. They'll fucking kill you, man, to be right. So I hope I'm helping, and I don't know if you have any questions for me, you can welcome to ask, but I just wanted to get on the call and tell you I feel for you, and I hope you'll find your way.
Yeah, that bank account thing is going to drive her insane.
You.
That's going to be over the top when you do the bank account. That's going to drive her bananas.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Nick, so what do you think you're going to do here?
I think I'm going to have to go forward and take whatever heat I get.
Right? She's going to cry, and she's going to threaten, and she's going to yell at you. And you know what I always say, Nick? That's how you know you're doing it right.
Well, the more upset they get, right? That shows you that you're on the right track.
Absolutely. But, you know, she's not just going to say, okay, go ahead, it's been nice. It's not you, it's me. It's not going to be like that. She's going to...
I love it's not you, it's me.
Right.
That's the
She's
best.
Not going to say that. She's going to yell and scream and threaten you. And
shit.
You have to be a man and step up to the plate.
All right, well, thank you for all those good points. Unless somebody else wants to call in to talk to me.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to leave you at this point, Nick, but keep in touch with us and let us know what happens, because we do want to know. We care what happens. All right, Nick? Thank you. Appreciate the call. All right, Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, I don't think I can outdo that story we just heard.
No.
But if you have a regular life story and you need some help, I will certainly help you. Give me a call, Adam Sachs. My toll-free is 800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check my website, www.adamlawyer.com. And you can also email me. I love getting emails. I answer them personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Very, very good. All right, now you know Adam is here live every Tuesday. Now, you realize you might be listening to a replay, you might be listening to the show on demand, but if you want to get in your questions live, call Adam every Tuesday beginning at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show, 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary, he's Dino.
Fucking cunt.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner, get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer. It's...
Thank you, Mr. Likas.
Beer Magazine. Celebrate while you can. It doesn't happen often. A female teacher gets prison time for sex with students.
She must not be hot.
Look at the picture of her crying in court. You get the answer right there.
A lot of crying. Oh, yeah. She was not expecting this.
Catherine Ronk. Your name is your destiny. I don't know how, but
she's about to hit the rock. Spend some time on the rock.
Jesus Christ. She was banging a 15-year-old kid.
Yeah.
She's a sophomore in high school.
She said, I'm so sorry for the victim and his family.
Sure. She's a Spanish teacher, by the way.
And she's also so sorry for her husband.
I think she's got brown nipples.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, apparently she got a bunch of people to write letters on her behalf. And the judge was like, what the fuck is going on here? None of these letters mention anything about the victim. It's all about you.
The judge was not having it.
No.
Judge Bullshit. Nancy Grant has had enough.
I've never seen letters of support for a defendant with nothing about the victim. We're all about you and what you are going through. Poor you. To ignore a crime and a victim and an ongoing involvement in school, outside school, in a car. You did something you shouldn't have done. And you're going to the can.
You're right. Also, Judge Nancy Gray said, you're really very smart and an intelligent woman.
Yeah. Let that work out.
Reminding her that she knew what she was doing with a 15-year-old boy, and she knew it was wrong.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Men may be more vulnerable to failing memory than women, according to a new study. With age comes
forgetfulness.
Forget who they are.
Yeah. Yay. Or they might just do it on purpose.
Right. I know you.
What?
No shit.
Stop that. Being like you're my wife. You're not.
Residents in Charlotte, North Carolina, upset over neighbor.
Ah.
They say likes to hang out in his doorway naked.
Of
in
course.
His doorway, he's not breaking any laws.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. By the way, it's completely legal.
Sure.
They've gone as far as... gone to the head of the homeowners association as well as a local.
Call him a homo.
Local politicians.
Homeowners. Sorry.
And they say that the dude can do it, but they've got to figure out a way to not because whenever the dude's naked, the children can't go outside and play.
Sure. Neighbors go out to bring their garbage cans in and shit. Your boy just hangs there.
There he is.
Naked in a doorway.
Dick out.
All right. Police in New Jersey arrested a minister, that's right, a minister for drunk driving on Friday night. 53-year-old Diane Rainers was driving through the Holland Tunnel with a water bottle full of vodka and 100 prescription pills in her car. Witnesses told authorities they saw an orange Toyota swerving through lanes, hitting the tunnel curb, and even stopping in the middle of the road in the Holland Tunnel for no reason.
I know many people have driven through the Holland Tunnel front up and tried to touch a truck while it was driving.
That was a Lincoln.
Oh, a Lincoln.
Sorry. And I actually was in an accident myself coming out of the Lincoln as well. So got a little experience with this. No DUI for me, though.
Hammer time.
San Francisco 49ers Chris Borland retires at the age of 24 years old. 24. Apparently over concerns of head trauma associated with the game. Apparently, I guess he admits that he probably took a concussion in a game recently and played through it.
Right. And basically he understands the relationship between football and neurodegenerative disease.
Sure, so guys like, killing themselves in later years.
Right. Yeah. He's like, I just honestly wants to do what's best for my health, and the dude said, I'm done.
That's pretty huge, man. I bet you a lot more people are going to start doing this. No?
Sure. There's going to be a lot of happy guys who...
taking your pulse?
No, there's going to be... I'm thinking...
Can
this
you
is,
feel your feet?
This is great for people who want to get in the NFL.
Why is going to open? Is going to be more open for
doors.
People who want to take head damage?
Dudes are tapping out at 24. A guy just coming out of, let's say, the University of Notre Dame is like, all right, cool, I'll play.
Finally, pick alerts for you. Actually, a couple of them from, of all people, Kanye West on his Twitter account, posting pictures yesterday of a nude photo shoot involving Kim Kardashian.
Whoa.
I don't think they're half bad.
Whoa. No, they're actually very good.
She's doing one of those arm bra things?
Yeah,
and
it's
covering
not touched, touched up yet.
That's a pretty curvaceous woman right there, I know. And sure, there's lots of junk in the trunk. But
she's little in the middle, but she got much back. Thank you.
It's plenty more newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Dick out.
Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find it. Brand new show every single Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Financial planning is an absolute must for every young man's life. And an important part of financial planning is knowing how to value and analyze different investments. That's why there's Aaron Clary's online class, The Analysis and Valuation of Stocks. In Aaron's class, you'll learn vitally important skills that'll serve you well throughout your financial life. How to read financial statements, how to understand an income statement and balance sheet, accounting, how to analyze and value stocks, how to analyze and value mutual funds, and many other important skills that can mean the difference between a comfortable retirement or one of poverty and eating cat food. So be smart. Teach yourself these vital investing skills and take The Analysis and Valuation of Stocks. You can find Aaron's class by simply clicking the link at our website, blowmeuptom.com.
This is the new normal.
Fuck them all, you know, corrupt motherfuckers.
Fuck them all, right? Exactly.